Get ready. It's time to tee it up with Keith Jones.
Coming up on today's show, it's an hour of the great Bob Toski as we make time for Toski and he tells his stories to you. So stay tuned to get ready as you tee it up with Keith Jones. Welcome to the show. So glad you'd be along, and it's a pleasure as we make time for Toski. And this hour, we're going to do some storytelling because he's full of stories, and, well, people say he's full of a lot of things. But before we do that, let's welcome the great legend himself, Bob Toski, back to the show. Bob, thanks for coming on the show, as always.
Oh, it's always my pleasure, Keith.
Well, you know, you are the gem and the treasure and the legend. So I got a lot of nicknames for you. You know, you're now 99 years young, and I know people are looking forward to celebrating throughout the year. But somebody is celebrating you already because I received this package. You said you're going to send the package. Be on the lookout for it, and I got it. And I got the Toski Tour Titleist golf ball. So first of all, thank you very much, because I know that's a limited run on those, but they came out really, really nice. You must be very, very pleased.
It's a great gift item, Keith. It's a great gift item.
Well, it is, and there's a website that everybody can go to. Again, it's a limited edition, so BobToskiPGA.com is the website to do that. And these balls, you know, I got to see the prototype down when I was visiting you a couple months ago, and now to see it actually happen so quickly, I'm just almost speechless, which I'm not speechless.
Well, you've seen a lot of golf balls, but you've never seen one like this. I think I'm the only golf pro that's living that has marketed a golf ball with my
your face is on it. His face and his cap. Yeah, the whole bit.
Yeah, and then it says Toski Tour, which means I was a tour player, and the golf ball is almost as good as the Pro V.
Well, it's better because you have a pro on there, the face of a pro on there, and Bob has this great quote on the box: "Teaching is an art, playing is a skill." And I love that because it's you in a sentence, but at the same token, because you have skill and that you are an artist, it takes a certain person. And the fact that you have played at the highest level and then taught at the highest level, there aren't many people that have done that ever.
That's true. That is a fact. And I think I'm one of the few pros that was a successful tour player and then became a successful teacher to make the Hall of Fame. I think there's only one or two other people that did that. Armour is one of them. He was a great player and became quite a teacher. So, and then you got Butch Harmon, who won the Masters, I believe. And it's pretty hard to pick more than three or four people that have done what I've done.
Well, true, yeah. Butch's dad, for sure, you know, went and has a green jacket, and yeah, it is amazing. I mean, you are certainly in a very small fraternity.
Yes, but that was the greatest part about it. Being, we needed each other. We knew we weren't making a lot of money, but we needed each other to try to keep the ability of the player to play at his best. And it was always Demerit walking by and looking at my swing, or Sam walking by and looking at my swing. and saying, well, just try a little bit of this and see what that's like. And you get these little tips that you remember, which help you to understand how to make your swing a little more competitive and consistent. And I'm grateful to all these great guys that I played with, which were older than me. And, of course, they've all left me. And the memories I have of especially Jimmy DeMarit and Sam Snead and Byron Nelson, they just stick out in my mind so deeply that every day I seem to think about them and wonder why it happened to me. But I never thought I'd ever be successful on a tour. I just wanted to make a living. But they all told me I had the ability in the golf swing to become a much better player, and it happened.
And Toski, to be able to teach it as well, because it doesn't always transcend, that's a big deal. And I want to also mention something else where I think you were quite a bit of a trailblazer, and it gets overlooked a bit. You did golf analysis on television. You were the analyst, and that was early on as well.
Yes, I worked for Hughes Television Network.
Mm-hmm.
And I worked with the announcer for the Green Bay Packers.
Oh, right, Ray Scott.
And Ray Scott was a great guy. And I remember one time his wife said to him, when they had a break on the air, she said, "Ray, you got to let Bob talk more. You don't give him enough time."
Well, you know, you are a man of few words sometimes, especially when you're teaching the golf swing. But that's the thing, too, because nowadays you watch golf on television. A lot of times I watch it with the sound down, because I can't stand the drabble. And Frank Cherkinian, long rest his soul, certainly, you know, demanded the best from his announcers. But I feel like that whole thing has slid away, and people they're just talking and, you know, telling you that, you know, if he hits his putt right, it's going to go in the hole. Really? That is groundbreaking news.
You know, when I went on the air for the first time, he says, "I'm going to count down from 5 to 1. And then after 1, I'm going to say, smile, because the only thing you got going for you are your teeth." And when he hit 1, he would say that. And then they would close in on me, and everybody says, "God, you look like you were so happy to be on TV." Well, I was really laughing. It's Cherkinian.
Well, that's the one thing that's also great about the artwork on the box, and that is the picture of you. You're showing your teeth. You're showing those pearly whites. So that has got Toski written all over that picture.
Yeah, thanks.
Oh, but man.
You know, if it hadn't been for golf, I don't know what I would have done with my life. And you know, as I said before, I'll say it again, when I played on tour, to beat 150 guys, you had to be self-centered and selfish. You had to think about only one person, you, how to succeed. But when you start teaching, you're sharing your knowledge about how you became successful and how you swung the club. And knowledge then becomes power transmitted into physical energy. And the physical energy is to be able to talk to people and make them understand why you were good with a golf swing and how they could be better with a golf swing. So I simplify it. I simply would say, because so many of them were high handicap players and had very little knowledge of the golf swing, and I would say, all you know what the letter C looks like? And they say, yes. I say, well, that's all it is an inverted C. And I would ask them if they understood what an inverted C was. Most of them knew, some didn't. And it's then I explained how the swing was inverted by the lowering of the swing plane from the top of the swing, which once you lower the plane, you keep the club head from unwinding or accelerating too early, and you have conservation of angular momentum, and by the time you get to the ball, you're releasing that energy just before you get to the ball to let the club head find the ball with the greatest amount of speed, hopefully that the weight of the club head and the weight of the entire club is creating enough momentum to compress the ball and drive it forward in the direction you want it to go. But the problem today with so many players, Keith, is they swing the club with so much speed compared to what we did, 120 miles now, 130, that the control of the club face at impact is very difficult, and I call it that they have a lot of airmail but no zip code. And that's the problem with speed. It can kill. It, in golf, it doesn't kill you physically, but it makes you feel mentally incapable of controlling your golf swing as well as you'd like. So golf has changed in that they drive the ball so far today that they have nothing but short irons into the green. And where we used to hit wood clubs, the par fives, they're hitting seven irons. So the courses really aren't long enough for them. And that's why the scores are so low, because they don't have to hit fairway woods and long irons into the green. So it makes much easier for them to control the ball with the club face and get it closer to the flag stick. And it's a matter simply then of holding the putt. But the game has changed because the players are so tall and so strong, and they have more leverage. They have more time to build speed from the upper part of their body into the lower part. And, of course, the golf swing is a matter of the lower part helping it to stabilize the upper part of your body and to keep the body in balance. And you get in balance through your feet and legs. And if you swing at a rate of speed as some of them do, they almost twist their body out of position. So it's pretty obvious. You can see that if you know what to look at when you're watching television.
Well, it's like they come out of their shoes, and there's no yes, question yes. about that. And the balance thing, I think, is paramount there. Bob made a fantastic point. You got to keep everything in balance, and the results will show you that you're doing a good job. Bob Toski spending the hour with us. We're going to get some more stories about the greats of the game. And, of course, instruction along the way. It's Bob spending the hour with us. We're pleased to bring you this second hour and make time for Toski.
Hooked it. Sliced it.
Shanked it.
Towed it.
Snapped it.
Chunked it.
That is not good.
Hair piece.
Knockwurst.
Fat box.
Kitty litter.
That's in the drink.
The drink.
The drink.
Strip steak.
You make the language.
Lumberyard.
We make the rules.
Look out.
We're the USGA for the good of the game.
Oh, that's wet.
We are back with Bob Toski, the multi-Hall of Famer, our go-to guy, a gem, certainly a treasure and no question about being a legend. The last living link between yesteryear and today's game, and it is amazing to think 99 years young, and we will do everything we can to celebrate in 2026, which will be Bob's 100th year, leading all the way up to his September birthday. And the guys that are, I think it's fantastic that guys like Dennis Satishier has had the stream this idea of taking you up on stage at the PGA Merchandise Show in January. That would be super special and super fantastic. And hopefully you can do a little road. I think you can probably drive over there. Not you drive. We can send a driver and drive you over to the show, so you don't have to even hop in a plane.
I'm gonna have somebody drive me up there. Yeah,
that makes total sense. But that'll be a fantastic. If and when it gets pulled off, we're gonna do our due diligence and see if we can't get our contacts to say this is a great idea, because it is a great idea. So I'm glad somebody else came up with it, but I'm happy to help make the great idea come to fruition, because it's just way too important. And, you know, I have to admit, we have been very selfish, me personally as well, on this show, because we've monopolized Toski for the last 15 plus years. But you know what? We're happy with that. We're fine with that. We find no guilt in that. Because if other entities aren't smart enough to say, here's a guy that remembers 55, 65, 75, 85 years ago and everything that happened in between and is so knowledgeable about the golf swing and the game of golf and the players and everything else, not my fault that they are not tapped into this beautiful fountain of youth with a big well attached to it. So thank you, Bob.
How many people would meet a guy like Walter Hagen? I met Walter Hagen, and I never thought I'd ever meet that man in my life. And here I'm in Detroit, and he taps me on the shoulder in the parking lot. He says, are you Bob Toski? I said, yes, sir. He said, I'm Mr. Hagen. I said, yes, I know. And we stopped and had quite a chat. So that's the way life goes. You meet the best, you play with the best, you learn from the best. And I've always had this philosophy that you live to learn, and then you learn how to live.
Fantastic words from Bob Toski, who has played with virtually everyone and certainly met those who may have come before him a little older and such in the golf history and stuff. And we've learned a lot from Bob over the years as well, and treasure our friendship and our relationship and the goodness of a guy that constantly gives. It is amazing what Bob continues to do for the game of golf. And been doing this show since March of 1998. And yes, it seems like a century ago for me, but I've been so fortunate, as Bob alluded to have come across so many fantastic people in and around this game.
I can't believe you and I have been on for 15 years.
I was trying to go back in the archives. I know it was at least 2010 when I found some archives. It may have been longer than that, but at least that long. I know it is crazy, and it is insane.
It only seemed like a couple of years.
Yeah, true. I had to check. I was like, well, okay, here's 2010. Has anything happened before then? I don't know. I was trying to recall, because I suffer from CRS, and Bob can, I can barely remember 53 days ago. Bob can remember 53 years ago. I'm trying to remember when Bob and I actually met. I think it might have been at the PGA Merchandise Show, but I am unsure as I sit here.
Yeah, I remember when we were in the lobby there talking, and all of a sudden we had a gallery.
That's one of my favorite stories to tell, because talking to Dennis Satishier off air, we were talking about his idea, or the idea they'd come together about getting you to the PGA show, and I just know that if this happens, there's got to be some sort of security or something, you know, some human chain around you, because you get stopped every 3 seconds. Bob Totski. People see that's Totski. That's Totski. That's Totski. You know, and it's like we're sitting. We're Bob and I were just having lunch. Just a little. Bob says, "Hey, let's go out in the lobby and you know sit at a table and have some lunch." We start doing that, and then one person walks by and does the double take and ends up. You mind if I sit down? No, it's all right. And then another one, and then another one. And it was like I think it was a table for 12, and we had standing room only. It was. Yeah. I mean, it was just it was crazy. And lunch, we you know forget that. That's the game over then.
You got to do me a favor, Keith.
Okay, Bob, hang on a second. Let me go to a break, and when we come back, I will do Bob a favor.
The Dalai Lama. So I'm on a first tee. What am I giving the driver? He hauls off and whacks one. Big hitter.
The Lama.
Long. Into a 10,000 foot crevice right at the base of this glacier. You know what the Lama says? Gunga Galunga. Gunga, Gunga Galunga.
And we're back to start the second half hour of the show, spending it with our legend, Bob Totski, in-house. And I think I'm about to do a favor for Bob. What is the favor I can do for you, young man?
God willing, I turned 100. You must be at my birthday party.
Oh, I will, sir. Believe me. I may make a few trips next year to see you. But yeah, definitely, I've got that. But now I have to check the calendar because I know there was a little crossing communications in house for this.
Yeah, I'm planning
on
entertainment. You won't believe.
Oh my God, it's better than the Hula Girls. How can that be? I don't know.
I'm sorry?
Better than the Hula Girls? I don't know how that can be.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I do Hula Girls this year. But I'll let you know in the next show what I'm planning to do.
Okay, awesome. Yeah, I'm not going to miss it. I wouldn't miss it. And, you know, again, we're going to celebrate. We're going to, as Dennis Satisher says, we're going to celebrate Bob Totski's 100th year all year. And I'm totally in on that. So that'll be... That'll be a great. So.
You won't believe this, but I had a talk with Tom Kite the other day, and we had a great talk. And before I hung up, I said, Tom, you owe me a favor of all the help I've given you. And I said, you got to come to my birthday party if I'm 100. I said, you better show up. And he says, I'll be there.
All right, so you know, this is a problem that you're creating because there will be a lot of other people that want to come to your party, regardless of whether you invite them or not, or insist that they come. So, are you doing like this super grand ballroom? Have you picked out the venue yet? Are you thinking about the venue? Because I know it's usually 100-ish people. I mean, I'm looking at like
the ballroom can hold about 130 or 40 people. So
yeah.
Depending on how much money you want to spend and how many people you want to have enjoy the dinner and the entertainment.
Yeah, but I think Totski, the days of Totski paying for his own birthday party, as great as it is, you know, that might be coming to an end. So we might have to figure out a fundraiser.
I plan to probably have that be my last one.
Your birthday party?
Yep.
Well, hopefully it's only because you don't want to, you know.
At 101, I want to probably just stay home.
Okay, that's fair. Yeah, I'll let you do that. As long as you're sitting upright, that's fine. Yes.
Pick up the phone and go on the air with you.
That would be my honor, sir, to do that. Yeah. You know, we're doing a birthday show for you anyway, but you know, Totski's on at least once a month, and because we can, and he wants to, and he can, and you know, it's just the stories and stuff.
I just hope I have the voice that I have now, so I don't sound like I'm halfway down below the earth.
You don't. I tell people, you know, if you didn't, you know, if you never ran into Bob, you wouldn't know he's 99. He doesn't look 99, whatever that actually looks like. But he looks you know, a bit younger than that. But when somebody hears you on the show, they have no idea. Unless I say Bob is 99 years old, they're like, I've never known anybody 99 years old. I know.
Oh, God bless America.
Yeah, indeed, indeed. And, you know, yeah, let's throw that in there, too. God bless America. Bob is also a vet. He is a veteran of the armed forces and was in World War II. So do that. I've been meaning to say this. So I had an opportunity recently to get to Hawaii. So I saw some different hula girls than you saw. But I went to Pearl Harbor. I was always planning on going to Pearl Harbor. And my friend Tyson, I do some volunteering for the National Park Service, you know, not to get too personal, and, you know, and that my nonsense. But anyway, and he was my volunteer coordinator. And then he got transferred. He wanted to transfer to Pearl Harbor and he got the job. And he happened to be working the day while I was at Pearl Harbor. And we actually got to go out because the Navy's doing renovation work on the ship because it's very, very old and pieces are coming off and such. So the Navy divers are there and the welders and stuff. So they're really limiting the boats that go out to the USS Arizona, which is an unbelievable memorial. But on that day, we were able to go out on one of the boats. And it was beyond moving. It was incredible. It was probably beyond what I was thinking it was going to be. But the other thing was we went to Ford Island, and that's where the USS Oklahoma and the USS Utah are based. The Oklahoma is not there at all. There's just a memorial for there, which is quite moving, the outstanding work that they did to put that memorial together on land. But the Utah is still in the water, and there's now a walking bridge to get out there to get close to them. And the last remaining service member that was involved with the Utah passed recently. So, you know, that was after I got back. But that was, you wouldn't know, Bob, that was a ship because it's so rusted and it just looks like this bent metal that's in the water. But somebody recognized, because it's on a naval base, the Ford Island naval base there, or the naval base on Ford Island. So you had to get special permission to go on and such. And my park ranger buddy.
But to see something like that had to be very moving for you.
Oh, it was so beyond. I mean, I wasn't, you see the Arizona Memorial, USS Arizona Memorial all the time because it's pictures. It's kind of the more vibrant landmark, if you will, right? But you don't get to see the Utah, and you don't get to see and hear all the backstories. And my friend Tyson is an outstanding park ranger, but he happened to do both parts of that tour for me, and he was phenomenal with his knowledge and his understanding and the way he broke it down and saying these guys that were on the Utah deserve the same sort of recognition as the guys that were on the Arizona, because there were a lot of ships blown up that day. On December 7th. And there's actually a movie that they show you, and you see the Japanese planes taking off from the aircraft carrier. And I asked about that. I'm like, how do you have this footage? Because the Japanese, it was such a monumental move in the war, or the pending war military move, that they decided to video all of this. So you see it all, and it is just the movie itself is just beyond belief, as you see.
Beyond words.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. But to see all the other stuff on Ford Island was just incredible. Yeah. You're just gutted.
The sailors and the people that were on the Utah still beneath the water.
Yes, there's. I forgot how many. What the number was. Yes, they are.
Oh my God.
Well, you know, and Bob, here we are. 80 plus years later, and they're still recovering. You know, now it's based on DNA, right? Science has come so far about that, so they're actually able to identify the people who perished.
Bodies.
Yeah, you know, verify that they were actually indeed on and such. So that whole, it's a lot. I mean,
that's wonderful, and know.
Yeah, so that is, you know, because closure, you're bringing closure to the families and closure, you know, and so it was an unbelievable experience, it's a must, you know, and you being World War II veteran, I mean, it just, again, lost for words.
I was fortunate enough to survive, I never did get any combat, but I was one day away from combat, and fortunately for me, Harry dropped the bomb on Hiroshima and Nagasaki, and the war ended that fast, and I was fortunate enough to be able to stay alive and come home.
Yeah, and I was amazed also at the number of Japanese visitors to Pearl Harbor. It was very, very interesting that way, too.
Well, when I saw Pearl Harbor at 18 years of age, I became a patriot. I wanted to go to war. I wanted to. I hate to say this, but I hated the Japanese. My heart just wanted to go to war and even the score, because what I saw at Pearl Harbor, that incensed me because of the sneak attack that they paid on our country. And till this day, until I went to Japan and met the people, then I had a different idea of what it was all about. Because it was a small minority of people that wanted the war.
Right. And that's what's interesting in getting a chance to talk to a couple of Japanese visitors. It's part of their history, and it's a you know, very meaningful for that country as well, because of what ended up happening. People got incinerated when those bombs got dropped on Japan. So yeah,
isn't it interesting? In the year of 2025, we have a Japanese superstar in baseball.
Yeah, you know, and there's a number of Japanese players, but yeah, the superstar is pretty, pretty amazing. That is true. We've come a long way that way, and
amazing. Yeah.
But everybody wants to be in Major League Baseball, just like all the international basketball players want to be in the NBA. It's just this American draw of these top level sports leagues. That's just the way it is. Although the Japanese love their baseball, and as a matter of fact, there are a number of Americans playing in the Japanese leagues, but that's they get treated very, very well. So Toski-san knows a little bit about what's going on that way too.
Well, that was the first game, really, that was invented. Baseball was invented a lot more before any of the other sports.
True. 1899. I'm trying to remember. I used to have that date down very vividly. 1869, I think, because 1969 was the Major League Baseball All-Star Game in Washington, D.C. And so I think that was the 100th year. So maybe 1869 is it. Football came later. American football supposedly started at Rutgers. And we're doing a lot of history lessons. Like, I thought this was a golf show. This is a show. We talk about everything impactful in life.
Yeah, well, I can. You talk about some great speeches. How about the one that was made by Lou Gehrig?
Yes. Yeah,
that's one of the greatest I've ever heard.
Well, and, you know, and it still gets played. And not just if you go to the Baseball Hall of Fame, but it gets played. You know, the luckiest man alive. That kind of will tug on your heartstrings too. You know, guys that were blessed, and he only got into the game by chance to become the great that he became, because Wally got injured. So that was it, and that happens, and that happened kind of in football too, in the NFL with a guy named Brady and Bledsoe. So you just never know when your opportunities come, and that's what Toski was. Toski came up playing golf with his brothers, who were older than him. Jack,
right.
His brother Jack was a big, impactful person in his life. They said, "Bob, you have what we don't have. you can be successful on the golf course. Go out there and do it. And Bob Toski says, I'm 118 pounds and, you know, and kind of short. And how am I going to compete against these guys? But, you know, the tenacity and the work ethic and the willing to work and the God-given talent that was figured out, or the skill level that you had developed is certainly made a huge difference.
Interesting to note that Jack never mentioned my weight. He just kept telling me, you can succeed if you get a great golf swing, and that's what he attempted to do, is to build a very sound, consistent golf swing, and to a great extent, he succeeded. And then from there, going on tour was the icing on the cake.
Well, I think these Toski golf balls, people that are lucky enough to get them at BobToskiPGA.com, will probably get them some great golf swings, and you never know what comes in a box.
Yeah, I think it's a great gift item, don't you?
Absolutely, it was a great gift. Bob says, "I got a package coming. Be on the lookout." And I'm like, "Okay." And then you know, this shows up. It's like one of the greatest gifts ever. Especially when I saw the prototype when I was visiting you back in September. It was interesting because seeing it on paper, it's like, yeah, this is a good idea, but to actually have it come to fruition is a big, big, big deal.
Well, I'm pretty proud of what happened, and I'm looking forward to having some success with it.
Oh, I would think so. You know, you got an opportunity where it's a limited run right now, but when they sell out, then the Titleist is going to get back to the manufacturing line and pump a bunch more out. So
don't you think that we have two things? You got a great name, you got a great product, and now it's a question of marketing.
Yeah, absolutely, and we're happy to help however we can on this show. And every time Toski comes on, we'll check and see how things are going. But
well,
you know,
I hope that people get interested in having a thought of buying these through the effort of what's happened with you and I and Dennis.
Yeah, I think that Dennis is certainly on to something. You know, with the PGA show
Dennis is really big time, really.
Oh yeah, yeah. I know it's great, and you know, the fact that he came to see you, he drove all the way from Durham, North Carolina, down to Ocean Reef, which is in Florida, but apparently it's really, really far down there, Bob. So
I thought it was funny when he got to Miami. He thought he was at Ocean Reef. He had another hour to go.
We're with Bob Toski, the legend himself, and we're going to be wrapping up the show in just one more segment, but. Bob Toski has these new golf balls, BobToskiPGA.com. Teaching is an art, playing is a skill. So says Bob Toski, and they are fantastic Titleist golf balls. Trufeel, you will love them. We'll be back after this break to wrap up the show with Toski.
Hi, this is Bob Toski, and you're listening to Tee It Up with Keith Jones. And we'll be right back. I'll keep my pants on.
And we're back for our final segment of the show. It is a pleasure to spend time with this young man, 99 years of age, and going strong, always with this stuff. Who is the tallest player you played with on tour? Was it Sam Snead or someone else?
George Archer.
George Archer.
How's that for a name?
That's a good one. I haven't heard George's name mentioned for a while. He was a good player. He's a guy that... probably doesn't get the recognition that he once did, and
right.
Certainly had a good all around game.
Oh yes, and he's a wonderful putter. A wonderful putter. Well, and of course you had George Bear, who was a football player and then turned to golf. And George Bear and I played a lot of golf together. And I remember playing an exhibition with him in Tucson, Arizona with Lloyd Mangrum. And I'd walk down the fairway and I said, George, walk with me so they can see how big you are and how small I am. He says, I'm not walking with you. You go ahead and walk ahead. I'll stay behind you.
He wasn't playing into that, huh?
Well, to add to the misery, I beat him. I shot 65, and he shot 70, I think. And I beat him by 5 shots. And I said, you see, you don't have to be big and strong like you are to play this game, because the golf club only weighs about 16 ounces. And that's less than not even a pound. And the ball's 1.62 ounces, so it's a question of how you use your body to create force, which is a swinging force, and creating acceleration at and to impact. And I did that about as well as anybody for my size. And of course, when you beat a man that's as big as George, I just told you that on the show that I love to bring him down to my size. And that made me feel good to know that I could beat all these guys regardless of how big and strong they were.
Well, and he didn't want to walk with you. That kind of, you demoralized him. You just totally destroyed his confidence.
Well, the swing is a thing, and how you time the swing and how you control it is a work of art.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question of that. You would know both, because leading money winner on tour and then successful golf professional and teacher, and as I like to call you, the godfather of the golf swing, which I think is pretty accurate, because there weren't too many people, if any, coming before you. There were some guys along with you, but there weren't too many people before that were actually teaching the game at all.
No, that's true. And to think that I'm probably the only golf pro that had a successful career with golf schools, which went for 20 years with Golf Digest. And for 20 years, I was teaching Golf Digest. They used to call them the Golf Digest schools, but people that came to my school, that were my pupils, called it the Bob Toski School.
Well, should have. Well, you guys still got a great relationship with Jerry Tardy of Golf Digest. And I think Jerry's somewhere still working at Digest. I don't know. I think he's emeritus something, but yeah.
He's the CEO.
Yeah, that's the same thing as, just kind of emeritus.
Yeah, whatever.
Exactly.
I told you, dude, I don't know if you knew the story about the time he and I played Sam's Need. And Bill Davis, the owner of Golf Digest.
No, I don't think so.
And we played at Brookline.
Oh, boy. I've been there.
And Jerry and I beat Sam and Bill Davis for $40. Sam threw the money down on the floor in the locker room and said, Bob, you can pick that up and take it with you. He threw the money on the floor.
He couldn't stand to hand it to you. That's what it was.
He was so mad that he got beat.
You do that to people. You make people mad, Toski, when you beat them.
To beat Sam Snead.
I know. I'm with you. I'm not saying you. Good for you. Good on you.
Of course, I had Jerry Tardy, who was a. Jerry had a handicap that was a false handicap. He was much better than the handicap he had. And he was responsible with his handicap for helping win the match, because if he had strokes and he'd get pars, it'd be birdies.
Right. Unbelievable. So thanks so much for coming on the show. We're just out of time. The great Bob Toski, the legend, the gem. Get out there and practice your game. Toski would want you to. Practice. Take your game to the next level. And we will talk to you next week. Take care.